In the beginning, there was nothing. Then there were comic books. Once you enter our world, there is no escape. Comic exposure begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Comic Exposure Podcast. My name is Josh, and with me is my very own little raccoon man. The one, the only.
I am my father's son. I am Travis Ratz.
Travis Ratz and I are bringing you the Comic Exposure Podcast, where we dive deep into graphic novels or trades. And you, my friends, are on a episode of our graphic novel summer. We have met the third of 6 books for the graphic novel summer is where we're at right now. We are reading Talking to My Father's Ghost by Alex Crocus. I think that's how you say his last name. Out on Chronicle Books. Travis Ratz, we are now into a nice little almost true story, as the cover says. Very memoir, very diary comic. Can you tell me a little bit about this book, Talking to My Father's Ghost?
Sure. Basically, we're following Alex, who is depicted as a raccoon in this, as all the characters are depicted, not as human characters of Alex's family and friends, but as animal representations of them. And Alex, we meet Alex on this as his father has just passed. And what the story is, a journey of Alex's grief. And how he goes about trying to recover from the loss of a parent, in particular his father. And to help him along his journey is the ghost of his dead dad, along with his brother, his mother, aunts and uncles, old friends of his father's, cousins. Basically, the whole community around Alex. We get to meet a lot of people in Alex's life and what each person contributes or doesn't contribute to this grief process of Alex. And that's, we're not, novel arc, right? This is, like you said, memoir and diary form. So this is just a section of Alex's life, but done through cartooning.
Yeah. And so Alex, I know Alex's work from Instagram. He does a lot of kind of very strippy comics, right? So very 1, 2, 3, 4 punch, four panel jokey thing. It all feels a lot like, diary comic stuff, right? He's often depicted in them. He is the he is a raccoon and all of his stuff. He's got a friend. Yes. And all of his stuff, he's a raccoon. He has a friend who's a worm, I think, in his like comic. So
they call me Dr. Worm. Good morning. How are you? I'm Dr. Worm. And he writes for the New York Times sometimes too, right?
I'm not sure. That one I didn't.
Yeah, I think on the back of it says, some other publications, which reminded me of Inn and our artist who was writing for The Atlantic. So this is like our second kind of, illustrious publication cartoonist.
He's been printed in Vice, BuzzFeed, New York Times. His webcomic series is called Loud and Smart. It's out on Silver Sprocket. I think his stuff is delightful. And so when I saw that he was putting out a book about losing his father, as someone who lost his own father in my 30s, it was something I was like, okay, I want to see how different people deal with the grief and the loss, right? Like I dealt with it by literally going to work the next day and just diving headfirst into everything. Like that was like, I'm not going to think about it. I'm just going to, I got finals I got to finish with my kids, my students, I'm done. I got to, and then dove into work after that. So I was interested to see like, how do other people handle a loss like this? So Travis, as we talk about this, it is a cast of characters. We have Alex and his brother and his mother. And you mentioned his dad's friends, aunts and uncles and all of that. As you look at this book, what was the thing that hit you the most about Alex and this cast of characters as you're watching him go through this? What's a moment in this or a process in this that you related to, thought about, kind of hit you in this? Because I think that's what a book like this does. It's supposed to like go like, oh, right. Even if it's goofy and funny at times, it's people write diary comics, and I think they think that they're very personal. But in reality, the reason why books like this, I think, do well is because we connect with them because it's personal and we want to know how other people handle things. What hit you?
Yeah. I think you're asking me is kind of like, what was my in? Like, what did I gravitate to, right? And as someone whose parents are both alive, but in their 80s, you know, we're in that stage where it's just the end is nigh and you live in this constant state this is before his father passes away of his years of bad health, right? Yeah. And the sense of at one point, he stated exactly what I fear every time. Like, every time his mom calls, like, something happened to my dad. Every time his dad called, you know, like, that sense of, like, when that phone rings, because I don't live in the same state, I don't live in the same place as my parents. Like, every time that phone rang, like, what's on the other end of it? This kind of inevitable thing, right, as people get older. And when in reality, anytime the phone rings, there could be bad news on the other end of it. For me, I think it was... as we talked about, you said, you know, when, you know, your way of dealing with it at first was just like, let's just ignore it and get to work. Right. Mm-hmm. And I have a similar way, I think, of dealing with grief is
real, like, healthy.
I will deal with this later. I'm not going to deal with it now, because if I deal with it now, it's too fresh and like I will melt. Like, I don't think my physical body can contain the amount of pain that this has caused me. So I need to ignore it until it distills enough that I can manage it in a healthy way. And so for me, I'm like, I need to like water it down a little bit with time before I can, you know. Watching Alex and his approach to grief was my end. And honestly, I gotta say, Alex had a really healthy way of dealing with grief.
Yes.
I mean, he did a really healthy thing, which he reached out to other people and was like, hey, almost everyone in this book, he asked the question, how do you deal with grief?
Yeah.
And we get it from different perspectives on there. So let me turn that around, and you can either answer me the same question you asked me. What was your in? I think, you know, your in is dealing with someone. So if that's what we want to go is, of all the advice that he gets when he asks that question, was there a family member represented or a friend or someone on here that you felt like, oh yeah, that is actually good advice? Or if there was any advice that was given, like, yep, people gave me that and I got that and I got that advice. So, you know, talk about the advice he got to dealing with grief from the characters.
I think... one of those things that I think is, he talks to his mom about the stages of grief, right? And he talks about how, like, I thought the stage, like, it was like stairs, right? Or it was like just a path, you made it through it. But instead, he realizes, like, no, you backtrack, you go back to this, you do that. Because he's talking about how, like, he's remembering, like, how his dad made all these unhealthy choices and he's angry again. Right. After he thought he was past that. And I think to me, that's like the most real portrayal of the stages of grief. Right. Like, you hear that phrase a lot, acceptance, deny, all those pieces. And you really do think like it's this linear pathway.
Yeah.
Like, once I get to acceptance, everything's great. But I think that there's things that hit you all the time where you go back and you go, oh, I didn't even like and now I'm angry about X, Y, or Z, or I'm mad because I didn't get to experience this with my dad, right? I didn't get to have that moment. I didn't get to do that again, right? Renner was younger when my dad passed away. And I think about like all of those moments that we didn't get to have as like the three generations of Buckleys, right? Like, we don't have that moment. And then in my head, I go, oh, I didn't have that moment either. at Renner's age. Like my grandfather, my dad's dad died when I was young, mm-hmm. right? I remember going to the funeral and that's the first time ever seeing my dad cry, right? And mm-hmm. so like you're young and you see that vulnerability in an adult. And then I go-
It's scary when you're young.
It is. And I think that that's the thing that stuck with me the most is that conversation with his mom where he's like, I'm mad again. I thought like I was past yeah. being mad again or this part of the grief piece. And so that's one conversation in this that stuck with me. And I do like the idea, this continual idea of let's talk about the conceit of this book where he's continually talking to the ghost of his father. Right. Like he's having.
Oh, right. Yeah. I went right to his family and friends of the people.
Like he's having conversations continually with the ghost of his dad or, you know, just dealing with the thought process and it's manifest.
The co-tagonist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Co-tagonist.
Yeah.
So how did those conversations make you feel? What did you like about that conceit of this story? Was there anything where that stuck out to you in those conversations between him and his dad?
Well, the conceit, it's been a while since I've seen it, but it's definitely not a fresh conceit, right? Like someone is being guided by the spirit of someone who's passed away, right?
Yeah.
You could make it someone's ex-girlfriend as he's never, you could make it someone's mother, yeah. you can make it someone's father, you can make it someone's drop-dead friend, their imaginary friend, right?
Yeah.
So I always do like a nice spirit guide through an emotional turmoil. Because I think it's almost, in some ways, it's almost wish fulfillment, right? In the sense that if you lose someone, like you kind of want to be haunted by them, you know? Especially and by haunted, I should state that if you haven't read this, I mean, read the book. He's not a scary ghost. Like he's just his dad in ghost form. Right. And he just kind of is with him as he's doing everyday things. So be at the deli eating a sandwich and this Alex eats a lot.
Yeah. Yes.
he snacks a lot. or he'll be hanging out with other family members and he'll be talking to them and his dad will be giving like dialogue and kind of interjecting himself into the conversation and filling in the gaps of knowledge or his perspective on it. Yeah. So in some ways it is very wish fulfillment in how I would think about wanting to be close spirit of someone in such a visceral way where it feels like, oh, they are their spirit, their ghost is next to you and you're having a conversation with it.
Right.
Not in a scaring way, but in a very loving way where you can then tell them the things that you never got to tell them or get all those, the backstories about it. Like there's a bunch of minutia that he's able to fill in. Like one that keeps coming up, a running story is Alex's dad had a falling out with his barber.
Yeah.
and it's this really mundane thing, but it keeps coming back up as one of the things that Alex's dad is just like, yeah, I regret that. And the fact that Alex's dad's ghost can still give him lessons in life, or maybe not lessons, but perspective. What did you think about the conceit?
I really enjoyed it. There's a couple there's a couple little sequences, like you mentioned, where he interjects. And then there's some very long sequences where like he and his dad go on a walk to the beach in the winter. Right. And there's long conversations. Mm. Or they're like doing miniature golf and they're talking about 401ks and whether he's going to live to be 65. And there's one particular one. I think it's a really interesting way to go about playing that. I think we're always looking for advice on how to do things, right? Or how to be better at things. And I think if you have that connection to someone you've lost, Alex is doing that by like seeking his father's advice in ghost form, right? Or just his mental memory of what it was like to have his dad, you know? There's one conversation where his dad talks about why he started drinking, right? Like, I had hobbies, I had things I was doing, right? Like, I was a person, and he's like, why did you... why'd you drink so much? And he's like, what kind of stupid question is that? Because I liked it, Alex. I like being drunk, right? It was like his way of decompressing. And when his kids got too old to hang out with him, that's all he had was to go drink. He didn't have hobbies. And I go like, okay, I'm surrounded in a room with guitars and comic books and stuff. And I'm in my 40s. And I go, at least I've got hobbies, right? Right. There are much more, there are much more like destructive things I could be doing. I think for me, that's one of those very honest pieces of this book, right? Although everybody's an animal and it's a silly concept and his dad's an owl and he's drawn like a ghost with a little Ghostbuster tail, right? Like it does have some very poignant moments in it, even though it's just this, you know, this kind of silly idea of a bunch of animals. And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Those moments.
I like the part you talked about there really stood out to me too, especially how it ended. So he has that whole conversation like, yeah, when you guys grew up, you know, after work, I used to play with you and that was kind of my release. But you kind of, as you got older, you just kind of did your own thing and didn't want to play with me anymore. So I started drinking. And he's like, are you trying to guilt trip me, Dad? And he goes, you're saying it's my fault? And he's like, it is. and then it leaves that you leave that little section on there, like just the sense of like brutal honesty from that perspective, or at least Alex's guilt still coming out as a writer on there. But it also brings up this idea of what a dad is. I mean, especially if you're trying to do it right, in the sense that for a long time, when your kids are of a certain age, that is your primary function in life, is to be a dad. Like you go to work, you know, you help provide for the family as a lot of moms do and everyone tries to do. And then your free time is all about your kids. But at some point, as that distance grows and they can take care of themselves,
what
do you do with all that dad energy, right?
Right.
Dad energy into?
You find a hobby, right? I think that's the piece. You find what your hobby is, or what do you do with that time, right? Like Renner, my son is 15. So he's going to be a sophomore in high school. And you go, okay. I bought the new Lego Batman game. So we've been playing Lego Batman the last couple nights. So that's been cool. But normally that's not what, you know, we don't always find that time to do those things. And so you go like, oh, what is that? What do you do when you're not, you know, wrestling with your 8-year-old, or you're not, you know, putting Legos together, or, you know, doing whatever thing when they're little and they hit that point where like they're going to be talking to their friends, or they're going to go do this, or they're hanging out in their bedroom more than they're hanging out with you.
Right.
And so you have to find that thing to find out what it is. I also get the concept of Alex's dad going like, I worked 10-hour days and I got home and I just needed to decompress. And what was I going to do to decompress?
You know, you gotta be thinking about like when, you know, you're a dad and your kid's young, like you play what they want to play. You get into what they want to play with. They're into Legos, you're getting into video games. But at some point, like almost a switch needs to happen. Like there's a gap where they like do their own thing. And then what do? Well, you do the things that you want. And then when your kid gets older, they should come play with you with what you are doing.
Right?
Yes. You know?
Exactly.
Right? Like he should come and be like, hey, Dad, you know, you all played all guitars those years. Like, you know, I picked up a guitar. Like, I've been playing around. You want to jam? That's what you need to do. It's turn around a spare play.
I love it. I love it. That's a great idea. So I think, what did you think about the characters around? What was your favorite character around Alex during all of this?
Well, I think we should, before we talk about my favorite.
Yeah.
You know, you had the mother's big, the father obviously is this co-lead, and then you have the brother. The brother is a big feature in this book because it's his older brother. And of all the ancillary characters, aside from the mother, the brother gets the most amount of time. In fact, there's a large section of this book where they go on this road trip to Arizona to find his father's land. So we get to see them an extended amount of time. And we get to, for me, it felt like the brother was a way to show a different way of dealing with grief.
Yes.
One of the more profound moments is, you know, the brother wasn't living with the family when the father passed. He kind of is older. He had his own life. And so Alex asks, I mean, like, how are you dealing with it? He goes, you know, to be honest, I think I'm kind of good with it. I think I've made my peace with it. He goes, you got to realize I've been on my own for years. Yeah. I've been away from the family. I didn't see the downturn the way that you did. I'm not in it as much. My brain has already started the necessary process of distancing myself from my parents because I'm at that stage in my life. And so I thought his character added much needed levity when things got too heavy. Cause he's a funny character. He's a real bro guy. Perspective on how to deal with grief. I really like the brother character. So I will now flip it to you. We've done the mother, the brother, the dad. Go into that cast. What did you find? Who was your kind of ancillary? This guy again. I love this guy.
I appreciated the brother, especially at the beginning, because it was something I didn't have as I was going through that, right? Like, I have an older sister, but she's 10 years older than I am. She lives in a different state. I saw her at the funeral, right? And we see each other, but it's not like we're not super close in that way, right? Like, we didn't really grow up together, right? She's my half sister. So I think one of the things that I really appreciated and wished I had in that moment was like someone that close to you that you could joke around with, that you could have that levity with, right? Who knew your dad the same way you knew your dad, right? My younger sister, she is, she has her limitations, right? Like, she lives with my mom still, right? She's special needs. And, you know, I know that it hit her really, really hard. And so it hit because my sister lived with my parents, right? Like, that hit her really, really hard. So she was not the person that I could like do a joke with, right? Or that I could have that moment with. Gabby was really good through that with me, my wife. But I just, there's that piece of it, that brother relationship during it, that I was like, oh, you got to go take a road trip with your brother to like just talk about your dad and do that, right? And just have that moment to get through it. I had a friend recently pass away. A guy who I was in a band with. He played drums in a band I was in when I was younger. And so I met up with the other guys I was in a band with to go to his memorial service in LA. And so we spent 2 days together in LA. We had not been in the same space together in a long time, right? Maybe almost 20 years, right?
Wow.
Maybe a little less than that, right? I've seen each of them at different points, but not all together, right? And so we had planned, the four of us, to all get together this year. This was the year. We're all in our 40s. Let's get together. The four of us are all going to get back together. We were planning on getting back together and jamming and playing and just find a way to do that again, right? And then, my best friend from growing up as a kid dies in a motorcycle accident. The drummer in my band, one of our connection things. And the thing that was really good and nice in that scenario was we had each other to go do that. Let's go be in LA in an Airbnb. Let's go walk to breakfast together. Let's talk. Let's reminisce. Let's do that. And the catharsis in that is really important. And I think Alex gets that with his brother, that I wish I'd had or had someone to experience that with when going through loss of my own father, right? And so those moments really connected with me as I read this, because it's one of those things that, man, I wish I would have had that. Maybe I would have handled it better. Maybe I would have thought about it better instead of going to see Coco with my wife and my son and bawling in the theater.
Right? Well, let me talk to you about that, because one of the things I know we got to talk about art, but one of the things I'm really interested in with this book is, do you think that someone, I think this book is a tremendous war and examination of grief in a really positive way. However, what is someone you know, parent passed away, they're dealing with this exact same thing that you've gone through and that Alex is dealing with in this book. Do you give them this book? When do you give them this book?
Yeah.
What do you think? When did we, how far away from your dad's passing did you read this book?
I mean, this is a new release. So I just, when did it come out? Last, at the end of 2025 or something like that. So I read
fresh,
it.
Though. Yeah.
I read it then. I mean, it's been almost 8 years. 8 years now since he passed. And so I think it's a good time, right? I think this would have been a good read. I'm going to tell you, probably have been a good read the year after he passed. Right. Cause I think it gives you the idea of like, oh, I should talk to people about how they deal with this. It's not something that I dealt with. I didn't really talk to anybody about it. I didn't have anybody to talk to about it. I'm not going to talk to I love my mom, but I'm not going to talk to, you know, like this is, that's her husband. I'm not going to, it's on different scales, right?
Unload. You don't want to unload on someone who's dealing with,
who's also dealing with it, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that this was a good exploration and a good piece to go and think about just the process of it. And I'm pretty far removed from it now. There are still moments where you go, oh man, that sucks. I wish we would have had that, or I wish I would have had more than that, or why didn't we do that? Or, oh, I remember that. And you do those things and they hit you out of nowhere. And I think that that's why that cycle of grief conversation hits me in this book.
Right.
But I think this is someone, I mean, you know, the people in your life. And I think if you have someone who's lost someone, I would recommend this book. I think it's it's poignant, but goofy. If you like comics, it speaks to all those different pieces of it. Right.
I think it's a good invitation to let someone know that, especially, I think a year is really good. Like, you know, people for these important deaths, sometimes they, on these anniversaries, they celebrate them or they get really sad on them. And so, you know, I think when you suffer a loss like that, you know, for the months, people are really kind of like attentive to you and like your emotional states, but then life goes on for everyone else and you're still stuck in this grief. I think this is a perfect comic to give someone a year into it. Be like, hey man, I know it's been about a year since you lost so-and-so. I got this book. I love this book, man. I did great with like talking about grief. So
yeah,
I want to give you this copy and, you know, like just to let you know, I think you'll enjoy it or you don't have to read it, but most importantly, I want you to know I'm here for you if you want to talk about it. Cause I know it's been a year and life has moved on for the people around you, but it's probably still very nice invitation. This book, I think not immediately after someone loses where it's still raw, but like a nice way to kind of give someone to be like, hey, I know it's been a little while and you're probably still thinking about it. I love this book on grief.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I really enjoy this book. Let's put a pin in this by talking about Alex's art. This sort of style of, I think it's funny. You get the family tree at the beginning and no one is the same animal. It's this very interesting piece, right? Like his aunt's a dolphin. His grandma's a raccoon. I think his grandpa's a goat. But like his dad's side is birds, but not the same bird. It doesn't make any sense.
Do you think that, especially for a larger, you said he does all his stuff in anthropomorphic kind of characters on here. Do you think that's like a cartoonist way of diversifying their characters? Because we've read books that are really cartoony styles, and sometimes it can be hard because there's only so many ways they can draw different human characters in their style. Even kind of like your style, the way you'll doodle is like, you need like a defining feature. I'm like, Travis, you got a mole on your face. I could draw in there because I'm really having a hard time differentiating you from this other character. Do you think that a limitation in his art or just having fun with it?
I think it's a bit of both, right? Like how do we tell characters apart? How do you do this? Right. Like his dad's best friend is a little penguin, right?
Yeah.
Who tells this great story at the funeral. And none of it makes sense. They're not a family of raccoons because that could also get complicated, right? Like, how do I tell the difference between his raccoon brother? Because I mean, he's a very simple cartoonist, right? His stuff relies on the the dialogue and less about the cartooning, right? Like,
right.
They talk and their mouths don't move. The expression is based on eyes. And I think those raccoon eyes do a really good job. Him and his mom have the same sort of raccoon eyes. So you can angle the mask up and down. The whites can be, I mean, it's that very like Deadpool mask sort of thing, right?
The most expressive, that, right? Yeah. Right. Certain dogs are more expressive than those just because the way their face is all kind of like set and things like that, you know?
I'd be curious. I'd be interested to like see if he has an interview where he talks about why he himself is a raccoon, like why he picked himself to be a raccoon. I'm sure someone's asked him that question before.
Oh, for sure. Right? And if he didn't, if it was just kind of a whim at first, because that's what he wanted to draw, for sure he's built up around it. That is much more poetic than just like, I like drawing raccoons.
I really did. It's, you know, it's drawn, it's watercolor looking colors behind it. I'm not sure if he digitally does it or does it by hand.
The colors, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's digital based on the back material and the.
It's, you know, it's good watercolory stuff. It's simple. It looks like a web comic, right? I mean, if you grew up in the age that we did or a little younger than us, we're webcom. I think people in their like mid to late 30s are very webcomic-y people. It's a little bit under us as far as like age range goes, but that's really what it feels like. And it feels like a long form. It also reminds me of, did you ever read American Elf?
No.
American Elf is another sort of like diary comic series. It's a guy who draws himself as an elf, right? So it's like his, you know, so I have a giant compendium of like, I don't know, it's got to be 8 years of American Elf, right? Yeah. But it reminded me a lot of American Elf. So if you've read that or you've read other web comics, it's that art style, right? It's not overly complicated. It's done in, you know, 6-panel grids over and over and over again. And I never felt contained or restrained by that. It never felt like a hang up while reading this. This was a pretty quick read. I think I probably read it in one or two sittings, because it moves really quickly, because it's again, I think when we compare it to other books we've read so far this summer, it's vignette-y, like In was
completely vignette-y. Yeah.
But
it's all, I think every vignette deals with the central issue. So you can jump around time. You could be in the past. Yeah. He could be a little child playing with his dad. Then he could be on a road trip with his brother. Then he could be at a funeral again, you know?
Yeah. The art is endearing, I think. And I don't, again, that might sound pejorative, but it's not meant to. Like, there's just something pleasant and cute and cartoony. And that is also interesting as it deals with grief and loss, right? And like him coming out to his father is bi as a ghost, right? And there's like a flashback to him saying something, and his dad's like, you know, or a boy, right? Like about whether.
It allows for the anthropomorphizing of these characters allows for a bit of separation too from this really kind of deep subject matter, which is grief. And Disney does this. It's like, how do we teach kids about these like really deep themes like Bambi, you know, like, well, we can't have it like a little boy and then like a woman running in the streets and then gets shot, you know, but we can do it with a deer and we can talk about these things. And so I think it allows for a needed and healthy separation to talk about something as deep and impactful as grief. Right.
Yeah. But I overall, I really did enjoy this book, and there's like a lot of really good conversations. There's one, as I'm flipping through it, there's a scene where he's shaving his dad in the hospital. Right. Mm. And that wasn't a moment I had with my own father. His death was very sudden. When I got to the hospital, he'd had a heart issue. And so he had passed when I got there. Right. So he died before they got him to the hospital, right? But I, like, Gabby's dad had back surgery recently and last summer, and was in the hospital and asked me to come shave him, right? And there's just something very like, there's this relational intimacy in that act of like taking care of someone like that.
Yeah.
Right.
It's and a vulnerability. They're being vulnerable because they have no other choice. And,
right.
and then how you accept that.
Right. And cool. I have
yeah,
to,
I'll do it.
I,
no problem.
Yeah. I have to imagine like as a person to go, I can't do this for myself. Can you please do this for me? It's it has to be feel very vulnerable on both sides of that, right?
Yeah.
And so there's just a lot of those little scenes in here that just because it's an owl ghost and a raccoon son doesn't mean it doesn't hit, because it hits pretty hard throughout the book.
Yeah.
So as we leave this, okay, go ahead.
I'm yeah. Sorry. No, yeah. I kind of as we get through Indie Summer, we're going to have a big kind of breakdown and talk about our major conclusion what our takeaways are from Indie Graphic Novel Summer. But little tasters, anything coming out of this one? This is our third indie book. Are you starting to find any patterns? Did this bring in something new that you didn't think about when, you know, reading these independent graphic novels before?
I just think it's an exploration of cartooning and comics in a different way, right? Like not that grief isn't explored in some of the other books we've read. I mean, we read or Lost or things like that. Look, one of our favorite books recently was Traveling to Mars, right? And that is a very poignant comic, but it's different, right? It is written in those 22 page issue beats again. And I think we're just going to keep coming back to the graphic novel lets you explore a topic and a much more grounded, not always grounded, a much more visceral sort of right to the point way. And I think that you don't have to, you don't have to cloak it in a sci-fi story. You don't have to cloak it in vampires. You don't have to cloak it in superheroes. You get to just do it. Right. You just have to have that conversation about losing your father and what does that look like? And so I think there's just something I enjoy the comics medium so much that I appreciate that we're getting to see it in a different light.
Right. Yeah.
We get to see it do different things. So as we step away from this book, Travis, what's the thing that's going to stick with you as we step away from Talking to My Father's Ghost?
Yeah, you mentioned it with Traveling to Mars. One of my buddies just turned 40, had a birthday, turned 42. And I sent him that book 2 weeks ago. I just, you know, Amazon, I had him send it to him.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, this is a real bummer of a book. I go, yeah, but for me, it's a real midlife book. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like asking yourself the questions now while you're healthy to do it instead of this existential crisis. And for this also feels like a complete gift of a story. And so graphic novels, you know, one of the things that I've picked up on here are these great kind of stories that you can, here you go, and then over to you. And I think you can give them to people as opposed to like, hey, have you read Criminal? So there's like these 19 traits.
Yeah.
And I'm going to send you this one. It's not going to make sense. I had to read them all to really get the whole masterpiece
of it. I had a buddy of mine just text me the other day, and he's like, all right, what are some good comics, man? I want to read some stuff. What are some good stuff? And I was like rattling off stuff. And I was like, well, what are you into? What are you interested in? What do you want to read? And just rattling off different things. But it always comes down to, and I was like, okay, Why the Last Man? Great book to read, but oh man, that's a giant thing to get through. Okay, maybe it's not that, right? Like this piece, like what's, look, 60 issues is a lot of comic to make someone go read, right?
You want to read X-Men? That's like telling someone, I want to watch a show. How about Law and Order?
Yeah. I start Grey's Anatomy, just at 22 seasons, do it. I agree with you. This is one of those things where there's books like this where you go, that's the perfect recommendation for someone who's thinking about something or going through this very similar thing.
Yeah.
That I think, look, we love comic books. And so sharing that love with other people is important. It's why we do this show, right? Like it's a reason for us to get together and talk about this medium that we appreciate so much. So I think that that's something that's going to stick with me.
Graphic novels are a real gateway to non-comic readers.
Yeah.
Agreed. Thrive and continue. And something like this, where no one has preconceptions of what a comic book could be, you can give them this book. They're like, oh, it's like animals, and it's like really, you know, this kind of simple drawing. Yeah, it can be that. And like, but because you've tailored the pick to what they're going through or what you think they might enjoy, it's not a struggle because they don't have any preconceptions of it.
Yeah.
So for my takeaway for this one in our conversations on how helpful this could be is just a reminder of, yeah, there's all these niche little kind of pre-packaged stories that you can read in a night or two, and they're out there to just give people.
Right. Right. Agreed. And I don't know, I just like, if you like movies and you like books, this is just another form of media to explore those things. And just because it's cartoons and it's silly doesn't mean it can't be, you know, it something doesn't have to be filmed on 35 millimeter and black and white in order for it to have importance or gravitas or impact.
Although I could see this being turned into like a mumblecore movie. If with like adults instead of animals, you know.
All right, folks, thank you for tuning in. The Comic Exposure Podcast is so appreciative of your viewing or listening, however you do it. You can find us on the internet at comicexposure.com or on YouTube at Comic Exposure or on Instagram at Comic Exposure. Or if you're the podcast people, whatever podcast app, I think you can find it. We do appreciate it if you could like write a review, favorite it, follow it, whatever. We have three more books coming up for graphic novel summer. Travis Ratz, this is the part where I've got to pull up. What are those books that we are doing? We have next up is Beat It Rufus by Noah Van Sciver. Then we've got Drome by Jesse Lonergan. And then Mama Came Calling by Ezra Clayton Daniels and Camilla Sucre. Those are the next three books we've got going on. We are halfway through graphic novel summer. Grab the books.
Man, lots of different stories. So many different.
Along, listening. Yeah. So just a variety of things for your listening pleasure. And we'll see you next trade.